In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, we read, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Does that kind of strength sound like something you need? As the text says, even the most energetic of us will finally wear down. We all need strength. And as we look around us today, it seems like today strength is something that may be needed more than ever. Now, if you're like me, you don't really want to have another discussion of the coronavirus dragged through your mind. As it turns out, the virus hasn't really been quite as destructive as it was predicted to be. In fact, it hasn't been nearly as destructive, I don't believe, as what we've done to try to stop it has been. Today is the 29th day in the state of Alabama that is considered to be the official shutdown. Shutdown of all non-essential businesses, restaurants, shopping centers, doctors' offices, dental offices, schools, churches, and the list is rather lengthy even beyond that. And while there is a lot of talk right now about the plans and the procedures for getting things opened back up, honestly, if it opened back up full swing tomorrow, and it won't, many of the businesses around us that we're accustomed to dealing with and trading with won't be able to make it. Very, very few small businesses in today's world can bankroll or even make any kind of measured provision for a shutdown of the duration that we've seen. More people in our country have been laid off from their jobs now than at any other time in this nation since 1933 in the Great Depression. In just 5 weeks, we have wiped out every single job that has been created since 2009. I don't know about you, but for me, that's really troubling. Physically and emotionally, patriotically, it breaks my heart to see what's happening to our nation's economy. But spiritually, I have never been more thankful for such a loving Heavenly Father and the promises that He has made to take care of His people. The promise in that passage there on the screen is a promise for renewed strength. In view of the world that we're presently living in, I don't think we could ask for a more critical thing right now than the renewal of our strength, spiritually speaking. Before I take that slide away, I want to call your attention to something else that's very important. You'll notice the wording says, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Do you see there that it doesn't say that the Lord will renew their strength? Now, I don't mean to imply that anything that we're going to accomplish without the Lord's help. Quite to the contrary. But it does not say that God will make you stronger and there's nothing you need to do. I'm afraid a lot of folks think this instruction about waiting for the Lord or waiting on the Lord is a lot like waiting for a bus or maybe for an airplane flight. Essentially, you're just killing time, waiting for the thing to happen, waiting for the time to arrive, waiting for the event. We need to see that our waiting on the Lord is not from the standpoint of just sitting and doing nothing and waiting for God to take care of everything. That's not the instruction here. Our waiting for the Lord and the resulting renewal that takes place when we do that is a process. It's not an event that God causes to happen all of a sudden. It's rather a process of which God is a part and of which we also have a part. And if either one of those two don't come through with their part, the renewal isn't going to happen. God blesses while we do the things that provide the normal avenues through which His blessings come. Someone's likened it to a farmer. God blesses the farmer with a crop to harvest, but He only does so if the farmer is willing to plow the land, plant the seed, and cultivate it and do all that he can with his abilities to raise a crop. Then God blesses him with the increase. You know, we can't help but acknowledge that this definitely is a time of adversity in our nation right now, today, and in fact, throughout the entire world. In fact, I'm not so sure that the world has ever seen a singular occasion that has affected every single nation the way the coronavirus has affected everything and everyone. I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to a place in the New Testament where I think we're given a recipe for our part in this process. And it's the passage that Jimmy read to us a few minutes ago from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. And we want to read that again in just a minute. And we want to see what it holds for us, especially in the way of renewing our strength, acknowledging that we have a part in this. We have an obligation, a responsibility to God, and God has promised to bring about the blessings. Before we look at it in detail, though, let me say that if you were to read an introduction to the letter of 1 Peter, it would likely tell you that this letter was written by Simon Peter, and it was addressed to Christians who were scattered throughout Asia Minor. Now, Asia Minor is a part of the world that's now occupied by the present-day nation of Turkey. But Asia Minor was a really important place in the scheme of the developing of the biblical story, and especially we see a tremendous impact that was made by the Lord's church in that region, especially during the life and travels of the Apostle Paul in his evangelistic efforts. Places like Antioch of Pisidia, Colossae, Laodicea, Thyatira, Iconium, and other names of places that we are very familiar with, scattered throughout the book of Acts and also the epistles that Paul wrote to many of the churches located in those areas. Peter is addressing his letter to people in that region now. The introduction, if you were to read one of this book, would probably tell you that the key word in this epistle is the word suffering. And the word occurs at least 15 times in most translations of this little letter. The letter carries a message of encouragement, instruction, and admonition. The people that Peter wrote to were challenged, as people in every age have been challenged by sin. Challenged also by the events of the world around them. The particular things that were happening in a political sense and in a nationalistic sense and in every sense in which the affairs of men are carried out on this earth. Sometimes things were good for those who were God's people, but especially during that period of time, things were often very difficult because of persecution. The people that Peter wrote to were in need of encouragement and strengthening. I believe we're in need of the same thing today. Not in the sense that never before have we needed encouragement and strengthening, no matter what the world events are around us. We as God's people never pass up an opportunity to strengthen and encourage ourselves through God's word, as well as one another through our fellowship, work, and worship together. I believe in this text, Peter tells them and us how to get the encouragement and the strengthening. I believe he gives us the keys to the renewal of our strength. So let's take a look at exactly what he says to them. 1 Peter chapter 5, again, beginning in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So the question for us is, how do we get this strengthening, this renewal of our strength? Let me suggest just a few things. First of all, number one, we must humble ourselves. As he says there in verses 6 and 7 of the text that we just read, human weakness is no match, never has been, never will be a match for the eternal, endless resources of God's strength. But the problem is, we so often fool ourselves into thinking that we're stronger than we really are. Some people might say that that's a problem that is peculiar in a special way to Americans. It is true, I believe, that our culture in America today does contribute heavily to this problem, but I do not believe at all that it is exclusively an American problem. But as Americans, there are certain values that we hold in a nationalistic sense. There are certain things that we appreciate and things that we like to believe, hopefully acknowledging alongside of God's help, things that we like to believe have helped us to become the strong nation that we are in the world today. Things like determination, willpower, ingenuity, inventiveness. Some might say just plain old guts. But I'm afraid that we also value some things in America that have turned out to be a little bit embarrassing. Like strength to the point of forgetting where our strength has come from. Individuality to the point of ignoring the one who blesses us with every single ability that we have. Even sometimes toughness to the point of thinking that we are invincible. In addition to a host of other things, I suppose it would be true to say that the coronavirus has definitely proven to us that we are not invincible. But the dilemma here is, it's that Christianity is all about being emptied of ourselves and letting someone bigger and stronger and more capable than us have the final say. Obviously, that is only a reference to God. There's a misunderstanding about that on the part of a lot of people in our world today, in our culture today, to the point of thinking that the position of Christianity is a position of weakness, and the position of Christianity is something that threatens everything that we've worked so hard for and everything that we hold so dear. Well, I hope you obviously can see that that's pure ridiculousness. What we've been able to accomplish has only been possible because of the blessings of our great Creator. The things that we should hold dear are things that will not be threatened by an allegiance to God, rather things that will be upheld. When will we learn that old lesson that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor but in vain? Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1. As Peter says here in verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. We must humble ourselves. In the second place, Peter tells us that we must be sober-minded in our approach to everything, to life itself. To put it simply, and perhaps in modern terminology, Peter is telling us the same thing that you would tell your children. Be careful. Pay attention. Be careful. Pay attention. This call for spiritual watchfulness demands that we stop taking God for granted. Careless recklessness, words that perhaps do properly describe the way a lot of people in successful cultures approach life, that careless recklessness will not bring God's favor into our lives. Peter, in this verse, verse 8, also reminds us of who our enemy is, and he reminds us of how dangerous this enemy is. I'm afraid it would be very true to say that for many people and at many times in our nation today, as wonderfully as we have been blessed, we've often identified the wrong ones as our primary enemies. It does seem sometimes like everybody's out to get us from a nationalistic standpoint. But the fact is, the one that we need to worry about the most is definitely always out to get us. And our watchfulness toward and against him will help us to strengthen ourselves to the point that a lot of the other threats won't really be real. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, there's nothing sugar-coated about that, is there? Like a roaring lion, walks around, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Number three, Peter tells us that we must be firm in our faith. Verse 9. Firm steadfastness of faith is crucial in view of who the enemy is and how the enemy works. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul wrote to the little church there, and he said, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard." A sure sign of spiritual weakness is shifting and wavering. Notice what Paul said to them, "Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting." God is looking for consistency out of us. He's looking for constancy. He wants us to be in possession of a maturity that will not only stand strong to resist temptation, but that will consistently be steady and stable whether times are good or whether times are bad. God expects us to be steadfast, to be consistent, and thus can our strength be renewed. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Not so much that misery loves company, but one of the most dangerous attitudes that anybody can ever have is, "I'm the only one who has these problems." Peter reminds us, as God's word does over and over, that as long as we inhabit this earth, as long as we are human beings, there is enough difficulty to go around to everyone. Now, as we conclude, I'd like for us to take a look at what God will do according to what Peter says here. Now, in verse 10, Peter begins with the phrase, "And after you have suffered a little while." He's reminded us that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by our brethren all over the world. Then he says, "And after you have suffered for a little while." Now, I don't think that that phrase is intended to give us a specific duration to our hardship. I don't think it's even saying that God withholds his blessings until after the pain is over. That's certainly not consistent with everything that the Bible teaches us about God. I believe it reminds us again of what Peter said in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 6, where he said, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." In the grand scheme of things, in God's eternal view, the difficulties that we experience on this earth are but for a little while. As Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I believe the point here is that life on this earth is interspersed with hardship, difficulty, and trials. And none of that will be a part of our heavenly existence after this life is over. But even at that, as we endure these afflictions for a little while, God blesses us during our adversity. Then Peter mentions four words that I believe explain to us what God does. First of all, Peter says God will restore us. It's interesting that the word, the same word, the very word that's translated into English, restore, there is the same word that is used to describe what Peter and John were doing to their nets when Jesus called them to be his apostles. They were mending their nets. They were putting them back together. They were fixing them, as we say. They were repairing them. They were restoring them. Interesting that Peter uses that same word to describe one of the things that God does for us in the face of adversity. Secondly, Peter says there in verse 10, he will confirm us. The word that's translated into English, confirm, is a word which means to settle in or to shake something so that it settles in good and solid, as we say. It reminds us of what Jesus said in Luke 6:38 in regard to our giving to others and the blessing that we will receive in return. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you were to prepare a basket full of some kind of commodity, especially if it were granular, and you understand that you could serve it up that way and it would be one quantity, or you could shake it a little bit and you'd have room to put some more in and there'd be more there. Maybe this is God's way of telling us that the things that happen to you, even though they shake you up, will cause you to settle in stronger. And even at that, there will be even more room to receive His blessings. And then Peter says that God will strengthen us. Well, that word normally doesn't need any explanation. We know what it means to be strengthened. It is interesting, though, that this is the same term that is used to describe the process that we today know as tempering. Now, especially if you like to watch that television show about making knives and things out of metal, and they always heat it red hot and then they plunge it into the oil, and they refer to that as quenching. But what they're trying to do is temper the metal to make it extremely hard, much, much harder than it is in its normal state. That's the strengthening that Peter describes that God does for us, even when it feels like sometimes we're red hot. It's the process that we're going through that makes us stronger. And then finally, Peter says He will establish us. The word "establish" there means to fix, to make fast, to set, in exactly the same way that concrete becomes hard after it has dried and cured. He will establish us. Everything that we go through has the potential to making us stronger. God will renew our strength. In view of that, I think it would be a shame if we didn't go ahead and read the next verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 11, which really should sum up our reaction to everything that we've seen and learned. Peter says then, "To Him be the dominion," some versions say "the glory," "forever and ever. Amen." One more time from Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look at verses 28 to 31. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." He gives power to the faint and increases strength. "Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." We're going to sing this song as a reminder of just how important God is. In the words of the song, we need Him every hour. One of the things that we always like to stress at a time like this is the fact that God insists on our obedience. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, being buried with Him in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life, we urge you to do that immediately. If perhaps you are already a child of God by virtue of the obedience described there in the New Testament, but you've become unfaithful in your service to God, come back and be restored. God is waiting with open arms to receive all who will come We sing this song now for your encouragement. Let's stand and sing.